Okay, I got my water. The only thing I have, and this is frowned upon by a lot of people, especially speakers, I always have a little bit of gum in my mouth. And to keep, you know that I saw some of the girls doing this by the end of their, when you're nervous, your mouth gets dry, right? And so I'm no exception to that rule. So you might see that. I have to follow these three gals. How amazing were those words?
Yes. Huh.
Amazing. I am just like, I cried. I laughed. I'm telling you. I received. I'm telling you. There's good disciples here, Maggie. Good disciples here. Good fertile soil. Of course, Rob and I knew that when we came. And we were able to come in and help. Mark and Maggie had a handful of people in their living room. We sang at Mike and Leah's wedding 21 years ago. Marissa was in a carrier.
Yes.
You know? I just am amazed at what the Lord has done here. And Rob and I got to have this little part in just being able to, we just knew it was good soil, and look at all the fruit. Ah, it just is amazing to me. And it brings me almost to tears because it's a good thing. And I don't know, do you sense the anointing here today?
Yes.
Do you sense it? I'm telling you, right now I feel the Holy Spirit on me. And it's not because I only had 4 hours of sleep, I promise you. listen, I'm going to recap a lot of what the lady said. I was going to say that. You know, so you're going to hear a few repeat things. But I love the way that the Holy Spirit just starts making this beautiful tapestry where everything just kind of comes together in such a beautiful way. And listen, you're going to be full by the time that we're all, when this is all done. Listen, Maggie, the Lord gave her a vision for this. She was calling us every week. We're going to pray. I was like, okay, let's pray. But you know, one of the things the Lord showed me was I could sense the anointing already. It's something that the Lord, I don't know if this happens to everybody. It does to me, that whenever I'm asked to speak, I always can tell if there's an anointing there, if there's fertile soil, if it's been worked so much and that the Lord starts blessing it, I sense the anointing on it. And I told Maggie, I feel that. I know that that the Lord is going to change lives this weekend. Listen, I want to tell you that a few years ago, I went to Mexico to speak at a women's conference. And at about 4 in the morning, the Lord woke me up. That doesn't happen all the time. But in this case, you know, it was, I had to be at the church at 9. I was up at 4 in the morning. I felt the Lord speaking to me, saying, get up, I need to talk to you. And so I began just worshiping the Lord and saying, Lord, what is it that you want to say to me? I feel that you are trying to relay something to me, make me sensitive to your voice, make me sensitive to your Holy Spirit. You begin worshiping, you begin getting into the Word, and I know that some of you can relate, but you know when the Holy Spirit's just about to say something. And it's a word for now. Mark was just talking about it this morning. I've heard Meg, say there's a word. Lord's got a word. So let me tell you, that morning, as I was praying and I just started knowing the Lord's presence, and the Lord began to ask me, will you tarry with me? You know that in the Word of God, it says that the disciples Jesus went off to pray. It was just a little while before they were going to arrest him. He knew what was going to happen. He knew that he was going to suffer. He knew that he would have to die for us. He went off to pray, brought his disciples, I think it was Peter, James, and John. And he says, listen, will you pray for me? Will you pray while I'm going over here to pray with the Father? Will you just wait and tarry with me? Well, the Lord went and we know what happened. He prayed And it was an agonizing, it was a prayer of anguish, it was a prayer of, Lord, whatever you need done. But he just knew that something difficult, the most difficult thing he would have to endure was about to happen. Went back after prayer to go check on his disciples, and they were what did he say to them? He says, can you not tarry with me 1 hour? So that's the word that was resonating with me that morning. The Lord was saying, will you tarry with me? And he brought to my remembrance that scripture. He said that my coming is at hand. He says, this is the last hour. I'm coming. It wasn't even, I'm coming soon. It's, I'm coming. The 11th hour is upon us, and we're into going into the 12th hour. We're coming to that time where we have seen prophecy. You guys were talking about it today. We see things happening. Listen, I've been following stuff like this all my life since I was a kid. Never in my life have I seen prophecy being fulfilled for the coming of Christ as it is today. And so the Lord said to me, I heard him crying within my spirit. It brought tears to my eyes. I could hear the Father saying, oh, the lost, oh, the lost. I said, Lord, he says, oh, Lynn, the lost. He says, will you not tarry with me? Will you go to my church and will you tell them, will you not tarry with me this last hour? And so with that attitude, with that message, just a little preface, I want to let you know that that's the message for today. You're called here, yes, you are mothers, you are daughters, you are sisters, you are, nieces, whatever the case may be. You are wives, but you are called. This is the end time hour. The Lord says there's neither Jew nor Greek, man or woman. Listen, what he's saying is, I want you to take up the call that I've placed on your life. I need you to tarry with me this last hour. I need you to tell the neighbors, tell the neighbor kids, tell your sisters and brothers, your family, your friends, I'm coming. And I don't want anyone to perish. Do you know that hell is brought up in the Bible much more than the word heaven? Why? It's because he wants no one to perish. No one. And so I want to start with that this evening, this afternoon. I don't even know what time it is, guys. but listen, I'm going to take these glasses off because they no longer function for me reading. So I won't be able to recognize any of your faces, but the message is going to be sent. I'm going to go into teaching now, and like I said, you're going to hear a few things that you've heard tonight, but it's important. You know, Rob, my husband, when he preaches, he repeats a lot, and he's very strategic in that. If you ask anybody in our congregation what the sermon was last week, they'll be able to tell you because he repeats on purpose. So this word today, you're going to hear a lot of the things you've already heard, and it's for a purpose. Grab a hold of the word. Let it, as you read the word, let it start reading you. Okay? And so that is what you're going to experience and witness today. We've read most of, the ladies read most of chapter 4, and I'm going to give you a little synopsis, a little bit of a brief summary of the rest of that chapter. I'm just going to tell you some of the things that are going to, we got up to the point where Deborah called on Barak, said, listen, the Lord has commanded that you're going to get the armies ready. We're going to go and we're going to go fight the enemy. In this case, it was a man, even though he wasn't the king, he was the captain or the head honcho of the armies. He was terrorizing. His name was Sisera. And he was terrorizing the Israelites. So the Lord had it. He got Deborah, gave her the word, and she spoke that word and said, Barak, it's time. It is time. And so you heard the ladies already say that. Well, what happened was is that Deborah said, you know, Barak said, I'm not going to go if you don't go. Okay, he goes, she says, and she said, well, listen, she says, since you don't want to go by yourself, today the Lord's going to give the victory to a woman. Of course, we know who that woman is. She was this woman that nobody really knew who she was before. We didn't know who she was before she was mentioned in the Bible, and that is Jael. Jael was a woman just like you and me, and she was... I guess maybe a nobody. I don't know. But she became somebody that day because Jael, what happened was is that Barak defeated in a miraculous way between him and the Lord using them. They defeated, utterly destroyed the armies of Sisera. I'm telling you, not one man remained. Sisera was defeated. He went and he had wounds everywhere. He escaped and went to Jael thinking he had a place of refuge there. Jael says, yeah, come on in. And, you know, she ended up, what did she do? You guys have read it maybe? Have you read it all? Because it's kind of gruesome. He falls asleep, very asleep. He asks for water. Smart Jael gave him milk, because we know what milk does. Put a few blankets over you, drink some milk, and you're nice and cozy, and it's kind of like a tranquilizer. Everything was strategic on Jael. She knew her opportunity. And she ended up, while he was sound asleep, getting, you know, hammering a stake through his temple. And he ended up, of course, not surviving that situation. And it wasn't good for Sisera. Anyway, so ended up happening, you know, the victory was theirs. And then we hear Deborah, well, of course, you know, the credit was due to a woman. And Deborah brought forth a song of victory and mentioned Jael in there with good reason. And so I'm going to unpack all of this a little bit for you. Just want to unpack, and you guys have already, you know, like I said, each one of the women touched a little bit on everything that I'm about to say. So I found some really interesting things about the meaning of a lot of the factors surrounding Deborah. I'm a person. One of you guys mentioned it before. Oh, you mentioned it, that you love searching origins and the meaning of things. Everything in the Bible is very strategic. The Lord is intricate in every detail. You know, the way he wove you and your mama's womb intricately is, it continues. Everything he does is with excellence and intricate details. And that's just the kind of God he is. Anyway, I don't believe that anything in the Bible is coincidental. And the way, like I said, he intricately wove you in your mother's womb is the way he intricately wove his word. Do you believe that? Mm-hmm. Do you believe it? And so, I want you to understand that this account of Deborah was placed in his word to be read by you. There's no coincidence that you're here today. So when studying these chapters about Deborah, I began to see that the facts surrounding her life had really great meanings. Each one had a purpose. Let's start with her name, okay? And so you want to know what the honey is about. Now, you know what? I think that with the little facts that I have, just a few, Maggie, you're going to have to ask her, because I bet she has like 1,000 more, okay? But this is what Deborah means. It means bee. And bees, here's some interesting facts. They are capable of seeing ultraviolet light, which is invisible to humans. They use the sun as a reference point to communicate to other bees the angle of flight to be followed to arrive at a newly discovered nectar-bearing flower. In other words, listen to this. Deborah, the prophetess and judge of Israel, called of God, was named after an insect that is able to see what others could not. Isn't that amazing? She used the voice of God in her life as her reference point. Okay? God's voice in her life was used to judge the people and understand every situation that was set before her so that she could know what direction she needed to go for the good of those people. Isn't that amazing? B. So I want you to look at the honey in front of you. And I want you to remember that. These are great object lessons for this book, for this wonderful account that we're learning about today, that the Lord so much, so very much wants you to grasp tonight. Well, there's a few interesting more points. Okay. It says here, the hills of Ephraim, fruitful. You touched on that today. So see, I'm trying not to repeat so much. I'm skipping around here. Bethel and Ramah, very strategic. Ramah means elevated and sublime. Now listen, I want to tie all this, what you already know about Ramah and Bethel. You already know a little bit. It means, this is what the Lord showed me, elevated and sublime. In other words, it means excellence. To elevate to a high degree, to a place of great admiration. Then we have the word Bethel. It is the same place that Jacob named. Its meaning is, you already know, say it, the house of God. Jacob had a wonderful dream here where God told him, I will not leave you until I have done what I've promised you. He said, Jacob was so amazed. He said, surely the presence of the Lord is in this place. And he named it the house of God. Listen, there's this kid that my son Isaac knows. Isaac's a character, okay? He fits his name. Brings us a lot of laughter. Anyway, even if I'm mad at him, he makes me laugh, you know. But he has a friend named Demetrius. We call him D for short. He was raised by a single dad. And we always kind of joke around this just because of the way he says it. But when his dad would drop Isaac and Demetrius off at the mall or at the movies, he would always say this. He would say, D, know your surroundings. And we just got a hoot about that. But you know, as I was studying this, do you know your surroundings? Do you know your surroundings? Do you recognize that the hand of God, maker of the universe, he strategically placed you where you needed to be, in the times you needed to be there, with the people you needed to know, so that he could accomplish his perfect will in your life? Amen. Even when you messed up and you went off track, he used it for good. Yes. And he put you right back on track. Is there a witness in the house?
Amen.
You know, Deborah knew it. I don't know how long it took her to realize it, but she got there. She knew she was strategically placed. She may not have known how significant the names of her surroundings were. Ramah, Bethel, even her name, B. She trusted God had a place and a purpose for her. She would serve in the house of God, Bethel, where she would be elevated to a place of authority, and she would be admired, and she would serve the Lord and God's people with excellence. Trauma. Do you know your surroundings? So, number one, in taking God's hold of God's plan for your life. Number one is knowing your surroundings. So I want you to say that with me. Know your surroundings. So do you remember when Joshua, he was leading the Israelites into the promised land, and the Lord told him that after crossing the Jordan River, which by the way, I don't know if you have read this account, but the Lord opened the Jordan River as they were entering into the promised land. He opened the Jordan River just as he did the Red Sea. And God said, I want you to make an altar from the stones of this river. And it served as a reminder to his people of what he had done to deliver them. They had finally reached their destination, the promised land. Joshua 4:24 says this, God did this so that all the peoples of the earth might know that the hand of the Lord is powerful, and so that you might always fear the Lord. You see, God is saying this to each of you today. Remember me and what I have brought you through. Remember me. Jeremiah 29:11, it says this in such a beautiful way. It says, I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Make this your goal. I want you, in the recesses of your mind, bring up every time you went through a storm and you got through it. Make an altar of remembrance in your heart. Remember that where you came from. Remember where you came from. Remember the hardships, the storms of life, and how you thought you'd never get through it. And then you did. You see, we often read the psalmist words that say that God intricately wove me in my mother's womb, but God did not stop there. He didn't. He's still intricately working in your life, and he's working every detail out for his honor and glory and for your good. So, he has a mission for you. He has a purpose for you. And I'm here to remind you of that. And everyone who stood up here and everyone who planned this, he wants to remind you of the purpose that he has for your life. So know your surroundings. Say it with me again. Know your surroundings. Okay, so number two, know your position. I was kind of all over the place on this one, so you're going to have to bear with me because it's going to all kind of come together. It will come together. Rob, whenever he preaches in Spanish, it's his second language. He learned it. It was a great miracle, but he was also, I don't mean any offense, but he was also a pastor for 15 years in a white church. So he got a little bit shaky on the Spanish. So when we started our Spanish work, he was a little shaky. And so he would always say, you know what? I'm going to say a lot of words that maybe don't make sense, but I'm trusting in the Holy Spirit that you're going to get the message. So here's some things I want you to know. So Deborah was the fourth judge of Israel. And, you know, of course, she was a prophetess, but she was the fourth judge of Israel. And the word says that she sat under the palm tree in Ephraim. Before I tell you a little bit more about the palm tree, I want to tell you a few things about being a woman and being in ministry, and not just that. See, we're all called to ministry. We're all called to ministry. I was ordained, and have been a minister for many years, but listen to me. Each one of you was ordained by God. Amen. You have a ministry to fulfill. Anyway, Deborah was, but I want to kind of put some things to rest on the fact of the whole woman thing. Because we have a really, you know, sometimes we look at ourselves and we think, well, you know, but I'm a woman. And a lot of times I'm not saying, I don't think it's the problem here. I really don't. From what evidence I've seen today, you're very confident in the Lord. But this is what I felt I needed to tell you from the Lord. And so if there's even a little bit of doubt that because you're a woman, you're somewhat inferior to men or whatever, that has nothing to do with it. I just want to lay that to rest. But Deborah was a godly woman, and she was respected and accepted. But above all, she was called. She became a judge to men and women. I don't know what her journey was to get that kind of respect, but I'm telling you, she must have been very admired and respected by the men in that nation because they accepted her as the judge of Israel. Okay? So, the Bible doesn't like an exclamation point in the first, in chapter 4 it says, and Deborah was the judge of Israel. And then, she was a woman! It doesn't say that, okay? It doesn't. She was simply called the judge of Israel. So, I want you to remember the word of the Lord that says that there's neither Jew nor Greek, neither slave nor free man, there's neither male nor female, for you all are one in Christ Jesus. Did you hear that?
Yes.
Okay. So I believe that my husband, I want to put things in perspective. I believe my husband is the head of our household. I submit to him. And we, him and I, we submit to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we both understand that Christ has fused us together to serve him in any way he has called us to serve him. Listen, I had a dream a few years ago. The Lord gives me dreams many times. And one of the dreams he had is we were in our living room. And in the dream, the Lord speaks to me and he says to me, I want you to grab your husband's hand. So I went and I grabbed Rob's hand. And all of a sudden, I felt this surge of energy. No, power surging through us both. The presence of the Lord and the power of the Lord was so overwhelming. It was so powerful. The Lord said, that's covenant. That's covenant. I want you to know the power you have together. So I know that I'm really blessed in having a very supportive husband who says to me, honey, above me, above all, is Jesus.
Yes.
I don't know where you are in your marriage, and maybe you don't have a supportive husband. Maybe you have daily responsibilities. You know, she said it so perfectly. The daily responsibilities of motherhood, the energy it takes to repeat yourself a million times a day saying the same thing. And they're like, well, you didn't tell me. Okay, draining. I understand. Okay, I understand. Amen. Here's what I can tell you. It isn't easy. It's not easy. It's not convenient. But it's his call on our life. It is important and necessary to surrender our lives to Jesus and his purpose. Amen. Listen, these 6 inches between our ears makes it hard. Yes. Because the incessant screaming of resistance and of life's pressures are constantly there. The busyness of life, the to-do list, the demands of family, the lack of support. Yeah. Sometimes it's like going uphill all the way, meeting resistance every step of the way. The list can go on and on and on. But there is a call on each of you, each one of your lives. And it was spoken over you by the very mouth of God. Yes. By the very mouth of God. Deborah, she lived in a male-dominated world. And this is not a feminist viewpoint on my part. It was the reality of those days. The odds were definitely against her. So the fact that she was the judge of Israel can only mean one thing. It really can. God called her. Amen. God called her. And she obeyed. Okay? Listen, you may feel like the odds are against you, and you might believe the lie that God can't use you in such a mighty way. But you're wrong. You're wrong. He can. And he will. There is no small service in the army of God. Just obey and say yes. Now, why did Deborah choose a palm tree to be her courtroom? Okay, so you heard a little bit about the palm tree, which was amazing. Did you know that the palm tree is so very different from other trees? Here's just some practical things and some interesting facts. Traditionally in the Middle East, the palm tree is called the tree of life. Because it bears fruit. The predominant tree there is a date palm tree, and it bears fruit. It offered shade. There was a lot of uses for the palm tree. But did you know also that the palm tree was created in such a way that it was made to bend and not break? Tree experts say that when strong, fierce winds like hurricanes hit palm trees, the palm tree's roots the palm tree root system, it's not weakened, but actually strengthened by those storms. Isn't that interesting? You see, Deborah was rooted in the Lord. And though she faced opposition, she did not break, but she grew stronger. Can you hear a word in there for you today?
Yes.
Yeah. She heard God's voice. She did not ignore it until it was more convenient. No, she didn't. She said yes to him. She didn't say, well, when my kids are grown, I'll have more time. She didn't say, oh, you know what? My husband's kind of weird about that. And I don't feel I can until he agrees, until we're in total agreement. No. All those things sound good. But God, listen, the account of Deborah shows a woman confident in her God to take care of all those details. Every one of those details. Whatever the situation is with you, he'll take care of it. You just say yes to him. I don't think it was easy for her. I don't think it was easy for Deborah. I know it's not easy for me. I'm a witness of this truth, though. My husband and my children, who are almost grown, Jeremiah's 13, but my 27-year-old, my 22-year-old, my 17-year-old, my 13-year-old, my wonderful husband, they're all richer in Christ because of the decision I made to follow Jesus. Mm-hmm. And to follow the call of Christ on my life, a life that I gladly surrendered to him. Deborah's palm tree is a picture of the position she took in her God. Deborah knew her position in the army of God. And I know the position I have in the army of God. It is a position I hope, guys, I hope, gals, that you will take that position today. It is the position of availability.
Amen.
Can you say that with me? Availability.
Availability.
The hurricanes of life, they're going to come at you when you serve the Lord. Satan, he's going to aggressively come against you like a torrent. And not only does he want to hurt you, he wants to destroy you. You will disappoint yourself at times. You will be disappointed by others. You will serve thankless people and ask yourself, why am I doing this again? Oh, you know, those fierce winds are going to come. But like the palm tree, you will bend, but you will not break. Amen?
Amen.
So I spoke at a conference, like I said, in Mexico this past October. And the message there, the Lord spoke to me, was warrior of God, guerreras de Dios. I believe it, you know, that it's a word that the Lord wanted me to share with you today, a few things, just a few things on how to be warriors of God, because that's what he's calling us to. You know, that was, I've heard today, Deborah, okay, she was the judge, prophetess, warrior, S. She was a warrior. Anything God needed her to be, she was. This was not a woman who said no to God. And I believe it's a word for you for here for today. And it deals with the heart of a warrior and the steps you need to take in order to take your place in the army of God. Listen, it's a word for those that truly desire to be warriors of God. And I want us real fast to turn to Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. And I'm just going to start reading because I just mostly want you to listen. But you can turn there if you wish. Deuteronomy 8, 1 through 5. And it says this. Every commandment. Okay, so one of the things I need you to know is I want us to understand that God must test our hearts in order to make us useful and pure vessels. Okay, so he says in chapter 8, verse 1 through 5, every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers. And you shall remember that the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you know that men shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. So you heard Jesus saying that in the wilderness. Now you know where it comes from. The Lord knew the word. Your garments, he says, did not wear out on you, nor did your foot swell these 40 years. You should know in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. I want to tell you, sisters, that God uses and has used every wilderness, every desert you've walked through in order to prepare you to possess the promised land. Mm-hmm. In other words, the desert you may be in right now, I don't know. You know, maybe you're worried and you're finding it hard to sleep at night, or maybe you're just finding it hard to sleep, period, because sometimes we go through insomnia and a million things go through our head, like they did, our mind won't shut off. Maybe you're worried about finances. Maybe your marriage is struggling. Maybe the kids are a mess. I don't know. Whatever the case may be, the Lord will permit these. He will permit these seasons. I need you to listen to this. He's going to permit these seasons in our lives to test us, to see if we will run to him or not. Don't take those times for granted. Don't take those storms for granted. Don't take those desert times for granted. Because without the struggle, there is no strength. It reminds me of a story of a little boy who went to his dad, and his dad, he was crying and had something in his hand. He's like, Dad, help me. You know, and his dad's like, you know, kind of scared, like, what's going on? And he says, Dad, and he opens his hand, and he has a cocoon. He has a cocoon, a cracked cocoon, and then he has a butterfly, and it's limp. It's not moving. And the dad says, well, what'd you do? He says, well, Dad, I saw the butterfly trying to get out of the cocoon, and I just wanted to help it because it was like, looked like it was struggling so much. So I cut it open. But when I cut it open, it doesn't want to fly, Dad. I think it's dying. And Dad said, son, don't you know that these butterflies need the cocoon? Without the struggle, they don't have strength in those wings to fly. You need to remember, don't take those times for granted. Without the struggle, there's no strength. There's not a time to complain and say how bad we have it. I'm preaching to myself, girls. Okay? Have you heard these words? If you are a mama like me and a wife, I have to do everything in this house. Why do I have to say can't you just take the initiative and do it yourself? You know, don't you see the trash right there? Couldn't you pick it up and put it right there? Didn't you pick up the hamper's right here. You put the poles right there. You know, but a lot of times there's complaints in our heart. Listen, don't take for granted the deserts, because I know that it's a lot more serious than that. A lot of times the struggle is very real, but without the struggle, there is no strength. Can you repeat that with me? Without the struggle, there is no strength. We just read ahead of the words up there that says, when I'm weak, I am strong. Isn't that right? The Lord, the joy of the Lord is my strength. So instead of complaining lips, the Lord does not want a murmuring lip. He wants a heart of praise. And I know that doesn't seem possible all the time, but just train yourself. Deny yourself. And it is so hard to, instead of just like, oh, I just told that kid. And then, Lord, thank you for this kid. I praise you for this kid. But, you know, it's a decision we make. complain, or bless. So, without the struggle, there is no strength. So the next thing that I want to point out is you must recognize that everything is for the glory of God. Not one battle is won because of our goodness, but because of His. You know, a true warrior of God recognizes that the battle is not about him or her, but the true warrior of God knows that it is for the love and devotion to their God. Deuteronomy 9:4-6. You don't have to turn there. I'm just going to read it. He says this, and this is really powerful. I'm telling you, it really spoke to my heart. He says, "Do not think in your heart after the Lord your God has cast them out before you, saying, 'Because of my righteousness, the Lord has brought me in to possess this land.'" Now, it's not because of your righteousness. It is because of the wickedness of those nations that the Lord is driving them out from before you. It says, "It is not because of your righteousness or the uprightness of your heart," the Lord says, "that you go in to possess their land, but because the wickedness of these nations that the Lord your God drives them out from before you, that he may fulfill the word which the Lord swore to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." I am not repeating myself. The Lord keeps saying this. It is not because of your righteousness. Then he says, "Therefore understand," he's saying it again, "that the Lord your God has not given you this good land to be possessed because of your righteousness." He says, "For you are a stiff-necked people." I know this is a hard word, gals. I know. But we need to hear these words because we can be stiff-necked. We can be a stiff-necked people wanting to go our way and then running back to God when we're good and ready. Right? Or when we're in trouble. Oh, let's not, when the storms come, like, "Jesus." You know, it's not because of our righteousness that we have anything. It's because we have a great God who's worthy. He's good. He's sovereign, and he has brought you here to this place. Now listen, I'm talking. He's brought you here to this place to possess the land. I have a warning for you today. Okay? The coming of the Lord is at hand. He's coming. He is coming. And if you've been having, and if you have an ear to hear today, because in the book of Revelations, Jesus kept saying to the seven churches, "Let those who have ears hear." If you have an ear to hear today, you're going to clearly see that the prophecies, they're being fulfilled for these last days. That being said, God is coming for a church without stain, without wrinkle. He's coming for a holy church. And these people, these heathen nations, He dispossessed them and defeated them. We see this in the book of Judges and Deuteronomy. He defeated them and dispossessed them. Why? Because they rejected him. And they served useless idols. He did that with Israel because they rejected him. He did that to the surrounding nations around him. I'm going to keep going. It reminds me of this day. They were a people that did what seemed right in their own eyes. Isn't that true of today? So here's the warning. And remember, you have to love me. The Bible says so. Okay? Can't sin. If you reject the Lord by the manner in which you live your life, if you think it's okay to live one foot in the world and live one foot in the Lord, that's a non-existent place. It doesn't exist. If you're not all for him, you're against him. There's no middle road. If you're not cold nor hot, but lukewarm, the Lord says he's going to vomit you out of his mouth. You know what that means? You know what throw up is when you throw? It's when your body rejects something. It is the Lord rejecting your half-hearted relationship with him, thinking it's okay with him. It's not. The warning for you today is, you don't want to be dispossessed by the Lord. It's not a decision He wants. He makes. It's a decision you make. You are either going to accept Him or reject Him. I don't love just with my husband. I don't love just the cutesy part of him. I know the good, bad, and the ugly. Trust me. But you know, there's only beauty in the Lord. But listen, why is it so hard to keep our eyes from evil? Why is it so hard to give Him everything we have and say no to what this world offers? I have seen so many people say, I'll just give you, I don't like to name names like this, but I see church people that we've heard our whole, you know, that I watched on TBN and this and that when T.D. Jakes was asked. Now, I don't like to name names, but you can see it on YouTube. Everybody else can, you know, I'm not saying anything secret. I'm not gossiping or anything. I saw it myself. But let me just tell you, T.D. Jakes, when asked about homosexuality and his stance on homosexuality, I don't want to offend anybody, but this is a reality. I cannot conform the word to your lifestyle.
Right.
The word is the word, and homosexuality is wrong. Okay? I didn't say it, a holy God did. But I surrender to Him and His word, and I love Him, and I know that this is truth. T.D. Jakes was asked about homosexuality. He squirmed a little bit and says, do you agree with homosexuality? They asked him, and he says, well, the church is evolving. What does that mean? Because Jehovah means I change not. Listen, He's coming to... There's no 50 shades of gray, okay? Black or white here.
Yes.
Black or white. You are for Him and His word, because every part of this word is true. Or you're against Him. Walk the narrow road or the wide. I don't know how much more clear I can make that. So, I believe that the Lord is about to bring an awakening. Speaking of which, do you know that I truly believe this, that without an awakening, without a revival, Pastor Mark was talking about revival, I call it an awakening. We gotta wake up, people.
Yes.
Jesus is coming. He's coming. You're either gonna stay here, and many people are gonna say, but Lord, in your name, I cast out demons, I pray for the sick. Lord, in your name. He says, what does He say? Depart from me, I never knew you. Where a lot of us are going to be pretty surprised when we're not taking up with the Lord. But really, you shouldn't be. Come on, you know whether you're walking the fence or not. You know. You know where you've compromised and where you need to straighten out. Amen. Amen?
Amen.
Okay. So be expectant and eager for the coming of the Lord. Live your lives every day and make a decision. I want to please you today. I need to please you, Lord. And if you mess up, you know what? We live in a world that's going to happen. We're going to mess up. But listen, I'm going to tell you something. There's something about intentionally sinning and then making some boo-boos. Listen, you know the difference. Every day wake up with an expectant and eager heart to serve and know your Lord. So, listen, I'm almost done. The warrior, they don't work in their own strength. Deborah, she called Barak and gave him God's command to go and defeat Sisera and his army. Barak told her, you know what he said, if you don't go with me, I'm not going. Now listen, guys, I don't see him as a wimp. Maggie and I were talking about this. I don't see him as a wimp. I'm just going to tell you, I think he wanted to be as close to the word of God's command as he could be. Deborah was that vessel.
Yes.
You know, Maggie and I discussed, she says, I think he admired her. That's absolutely true. I absolutely believe that. He knew that it was God's strength that would bring the victory and not his. So he wanted that word of the Lord and that vessel to be as close to him as possible. This was Deborah's response. She's like, okay, I'll go, but the victory is going to be credited to a woman. You see, right here, I see a humble heart of Deborah. She knew she was not the power. She knew she wasn't. She was not going to be, she was not the power that would bring forth that victory. And she wanted to make that really clear to Barak. And then at first when I read this, I thought when she said, you know, the credit is going to go to a woman, I thought she was talking about herself. But no, she meant that God will use who he wants to use. Anyone, absolutely anyone. In this case, it was going to be a woman, but he was going to use who the vessel he wanted to use. And Jael was that woman's name. She was the name. She knew, see, Jael knew her surroundings just like Deborah did. She knew that God had brought this enemy to her door. Something about this is the reason that Jael, the reason Sisera went to her house was because he was a family friend, and he thought this was a friendly house. Yes, they were from Israel, but he thought I can be safe here. I have a chance of being safe. There was a history there of friendship. And so, you know, it was something that he thought, okay, you know, maybe I can survive this. So he knew he was in enemy territory. And so he went and thought, this is the best chance I can get. So she invited him in, made him feel all comfy. And then I wrote this little note here. I hope I can read my own handwriting. Jael, the enemy who was Sisera, thought he had a friend in Jael. So we're talking about, again, straightening out our lives wherever we know we're wrong. Does the enemy think he has a friend in you? I mean, is he going to show up at your doorstep? Because I think he's like donning the door on so many people in the church. What reason have you given him to think he has a friend in you? Right? So, here's another warning. If that happens, seize the opportunity and destroy it before it can take another step. Just a little side note there. You know, she sees the opportunity God had placed in front of her. No hesitation. Boom. She killed him. Victory was won for the nation of Israel. The word tells us that Israel had a great victory. In Judges 4, Deborah gave the word of the Lord. Israel obeyed and triumphed. In chapter 5, we read the Song of Deborah. And then Deborah begins by praising the men in Israel. I'm just going to give you a little rundown of the whole song. She begins by praising the men in Israel who consecrated themselves to the war of freedom. Then the prophetess goes on to sing of God's might in days of old. And then she describes Israel suffering under the oppression of the Canaanites, when all travel on the highways was abandoned for fear, and the people had no weapons with which to defend themselves. One of our gals touched upon that. They didn't have anything to defend themselves with. She rebukes those tribes of Israel who were slow in joining the army, preferring to listen, here it says, to the pipings of shepherds. They just took their time. They're like, Then she holds up the shining example of Zebulun and Naphtali, who offered their lives on the battlefields. She then describes the terrible battle and the wonderful miracles that helped Israel to victory. So in the end, Deborah praises the brave Jael for having with her own hands killed the worst of Israel's enemies. So here's a question that I want to ask you today. Where are you in this song? Were you the person, or are you the people like Barak and Jael and the 10,000 men that Deborah praised for dropping everything to fight in God's army? They had good reason to fight. They were sick of being oppressed. They were sick of being beaten down and knocked around. They were sick of it. And they finally saw that without God, they were powerless. But with God, they were more than conquerors. Are you from this group? Or are you in the group that didn't bother to come? Maybe because They were just so used to living under the oppression, the dark cloud of oppression, and they thought, why fight it? Why fight it? In any case, you know, Deborah saw fit to call them out. She called them out. You know, I guess that's what kind of are doing today. That says, you know, people that stand here behind the altar and behind the pulpit, we have to say those things. We got to call you out because of the love of Christ. It's important to hear truth, no matter how hard it is to hear. It's not just cuddles and kisses, love. It's these words. It's these words. Anyway, my hope is that today, a day that, you know, that was prepared with so much guidance and direction of the Holy Spirit, so much prayer and preparation. And my hope is this, that you respond to the clarion call that's been sounded today on each one of your lives. I hope that, like Deborah and Jael, you'll know your surroundings right here, right now. It's part of that. Know your surroundings. A place has been prepared for you in the army of God. Say yes to it. Say yes to it. You were meant to be here now, today, this hour. I'm going to tell you something. When you take up the full armor of Christ, you're going to see hard battles, but you're going to see even greater victories, gals. You really are, sisters. Because every battle you fight in the name of the Lord, it's going to be won. It absolutely will be won. The Lord is coming, and we have to arise, and we have to take our places, and it's time to take up our armor and possess the land. And when we do this, we're going to see the mighty hand of God. We are. You know, you will see, sisters, your children. Listen, I have seen it. I'm a witness that when I take up the call and I pray over those children, you know, Sheena was talking about her children and realizing that Satan just doesn't want to tickle, you know, give them a little slap, push them around. He wants to destroy them. Listen, when you give your surrender to the Lord, when you just give him everything, you will see your children free. You will. You'll see them free from the chains they've been bound to. They will be set free. I'm a witness with my children. I'm a witness. Your husbands, they're going to, if you're having trouble with unsupportive husbands or they don't want to take their place or maybe you're unable to, I don't know. You're going to pray for their salvation when you're totally surrendered to the Lord. And listen, they will take up their place. Listen, I speak this. I declare this. I'm bold enough to say this in the Lord. And I'm confident in Him that they're going to declare, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Your congregation, it's not going to be, listen, it's not going to be weak and double-minded. They're not going to be like waves tossed about to and fro by every passing wind that blows. They're going to stand on the word that's been preached to them. There's a good word here. And you're going to get up and you're going to be a people. If you've been stiff-necked, you're going to repent for your rebellion and for your complacency. You're going to stand firm as a congregation. As a holy people of God, this is the hour, girls, sisters. You know, this is the hour to arise. We're warriors of God. We're those that don't faint with fear. We're warriors of God that stand in the front lines of the battle. And we don't hide from the enemy, gals. We don't. For our strength comes from the Lord. Amen. Amen? Yeah.